Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
KFC Radio episode 143. Jackthreads.com is the official everyday clothing of KFC Radio at this point. They make quality men's clothing ranging from fancy to casual and everything in between. And it's as easy as just heading over to jackthreads.com, picking out your favorite stuff, buying it. And if you check out with the promo code KFC right now, you get 20% off your first order. Basically, my whole wardrobe at this point is Jackthreads. But it's not just me. A bunch of stoolies are using it as well. The other day, I got a tweet from Scott DeChico. He said, I walked to the mall the other day to buy clothes, stayed for about 2 minutes, and then realized, what the hell am I doing? Went home, and I went on Jackthreads. Ben, at BCACC3, says, when my wife asks me why I'm dressing nicer, I can tell her it's because of this NYC blogger and Jackthreads. And then our own Jared Carabas, who, Feidelberg, I believe you can attest, Jared is probably the worst dresser on the planet Earth, yes?
It doesn't even make sense how bad he is.
It's like you almost have to try to dress as bad as Jared dresses. I told him the other day how they have style experts who are online. You can chat with them while you're on the website and ask them for help. And he said, this is life-altering news. I dress like an unemployed 50-year-old from East Boston. Is that an accurate portrayal, Fights?
It very much is, yes.
Yeah. So if you're like Jared or any of these other guys who like an easy shopping experience where you don't have to deal with lines and the hassle at the mall, head over to jackthreads.com and use the promo code KFC for 20% off your first purchase.
Are we doing something for 150?
What's up?
I know we got the baby coming, but are we doing something for 150?
You want to do like a halfway mark? Last time we had to make it all the way to 100. I think waiting to 200 is kind of too long.
I think we should do 150 again. It will be right around, you know, like the same kind of weekend, like the first weekend of NFL playoffs at January. I mean, we don't have to hit it on the spot. We could always just be like 150, but if it's 152 or something.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, should. I think it's time that we do it again. So
fire it up. You get that.
Pipe be it, up.
It will be automatic. It will be your first time going out and getting drunk since the baby.
Basically. I'll be like such a sloppy mess that day.
So let's do it. First or second weekend in January. Everyone put it in the books. Let's get it going.
Deal. We got some good voicemails. I also got some good emails. I did a mailbox over on Mail Time this week, and there was some questions right up the KFC Radio alley. So we'll get into some of those. I'm sick as a dog, and I actually went – I told the story on Daily Mail a little bit ago, but I figured I'll tell it to the KFC Radio crowd too. I went to like the urgent care, you know, because now I got the kid, so like being sick is like a problem, you know what I mean? They shoved a fucking Q-tip, guys, in my nose, and it went, like, into the back of my brain. It was the worst experience of my life.
Wait. Hold on. I zoned out there. You went to the doctor?
I went to, like, one of those, like, bootleg poor people doctors where you can just, like, walk in into, like, a clinic. Well,
that was your first mistake, yeah. Going to a doctor, period. The best thing that ever happened to me was, remember, I live blogged my visit to the doctor when I was, like, 29, and he was like, don't come back for like 6 years. I was like, thanks, doc. Like, I wasn't going to, but now I can tell everyone that you told me that.
Well, dude, I was with you already. I mean, what's the point of going to the doctor when you're sick? Like, you're just going to be sick until you're better. You know what I mean?
That's the fucking – dude, I was just sick for like 2 weeks. My mom said – she's like, you got to get – she's like, well, at what point do you get to sick enough where you're going to go to the doctor? And I was like, I don't know. I've never hit that point, so we'll find out. Right. And I was just fine.
Yeah, I will say – if it's something – like I once had – I think in college I had strep throat like 2 times. Like I had it and I like fought through it and then it came back. So I was sick for like a month with strep throat and I just didn't go to the doctor.
The strep throat can be fixed too.
Right. And they're like, here's like 3 pills. And I was like maybe 12 hours I felt better. I was like, that was a big – like I should have done that. I wasted a whole month of my life feeling like shit just because I was too proud to go to the doctor.
Well, if you know you have something like that, you got to go to the doctor. So I go there, and I know right now I just have, like, a cold or a flu or whatever. It's going to just run its course. But I got to show the wife that I'm, like, trying so I don't get her sick and shit. Anyway, the doctor says to me, like, do you want me to test for strep and the flu? And then because of that exact reason, Dan, I was like, yeah, if it's that, I can just be better right away. He's like, all right, cool. I got to stick this thing in your nose. And I'm thinking, like, up my nose, like this, you know? he puts a Q-tip in this way. And he, like, pushes it in. And I was like, whoa. And he's like, okay. Now let me know when it gets unbearable. And he pushes it, like, 4 more inches in. It went, like, all the way. It was, like, behind my eye. It was horrible.
See, there's no point to that.
No point to that. So my message to everybody is if you go to some bootleg doctor like I did and they tell you they're going to shove a fucking Q-tip in your nose, just walk out. I don't care how sick you are, how bad you feel. It's not worse than getting that thing stuck into your brain.
I'm never going to go to the, like, actual, like, that kind of doctor. But maybe one day when we get health insurance, I will go to a real doctor and just have, like, a running list of the things that have been ailing me for the last 10 years or so.
Oh, that was – oh, the best – you know what I'm thinking about doing? I really want to go get, like, physical therapy for no real injury. But, like, because I had it – I threw out my back real bad playing basketball, like, 2 years ago. And I got physical therapy, and I've never felt better than I did after the physical therapy. So I want to go to the doctor and just be like, everything's broken, and then just go in. Like, they let you sit on, like, an elastic band, and they, like, make you, like, do this, and, like, works your, like, tiny muscles that you didn't even know you had. And then you come out, and you're like, wow, I feel good.
Well, and we also, more to your point, Dan, we should all have HGH. That should just be...
Yeah.
Like a daily thing. Like, you pop your Flintstone vitamins, you take your HGH. It's human growth hormones. It should be allowed.
My whole thing with, like, steroids, HGH, Adderall, all these drugs that can affect you later on in life, it's just about being informed. If you tell me all the downsides and what it could do to me when I'm, like, 60, 70, as long as I know, I don't give a fuck. Because then it's my decision.
Right.
As long as it's not, like, a hidden thing where it's like, this is totally fine. There'll be no side effects. And then you're, like, diarrheaing out of your eyes in, like, 2 years. I don't want that. But if they're like, hey, man, you might, like, die when you're 70 because your heart sucks because you pumped it full of steroids. I'd be like, eh.
I knew that.
That's not that bad. Like, you're saying I could be strong up until then?
And again, if they just control these things and regulate them, they can charge pretty much whatever they want, and we'll all buy it. And they'll make a ton of money. It's a win-win-win until we all die of the side effects later, but you're going to die anyway. So basically, step it up, society. Get better. We'll begin with our emails. This is a Barstool-related question here. If you could go back in time and change your Barstool name, would you? Obviously, KFC, you have a conflict of names with the more mainstream. You might get confused with some non-stoolies. Big Cat, you share a name with some guy on Rob Dyrdek's crew. Feitelberg, you have such a unique name, you legit can't get out of Barstool ever. Let me know. So if you could go back in time, would you go under a different moniker? Would you just go by your real name? What would you do? We'll start with you, Fights, because I think pretty much everyone, including yourself, kind of agrees that you have such a unique name, just one quick Google, and you're kind of fucked.
Yeah. I never cared like that. I don't know. I remember your first email reply to me when I asked to be an intern, and you said, like, yeah, but you have to use your real name. I still to this day don't know if that was supposed to be a deterrent to be like, I don't want to tell this kid no. I'm just going to make him say no.
No, it was not a deterrent. It was just like, your name is so ridiculous that, like, you can do this, but I'm going to make fun of it.
Let's remember, though, Feitelberg's a different case than you and I, Kevin, because part of the reason, I mean, Big Cat has been a nickname amongst my friends for a while, but we also had real jobs that we were trying to protect our identity at first.
Right.
So if the question is, like, would you go by your real name? If I just started fresh, I guess, but there was a time and period when I couldn't have my boss find out that I was spending a significant amount of his money on blogging.
It was out of necessity why we did it. Right. But I also think there is an element to having, like, a nickname. Like, if I was just, like, blogging under the name Kevin Clancy, I don't think it would have been the same. When New York started, it was, like, KFC NK Marco. It was, like, two nicknames that I thought, like, went well together. Big Cat's just, like, a fun nickname. And Feitelberg's so unique that if you were just, like, John, I don't think any – I think all these nicknames work well, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Although on the app now, I am John Feitelberg. I don't know why that is. On the app, I show up with just my full name on my stories.
That's weird.
Yeah. I don't know how that came about. It was like when we got the new app, it just started adding my first name, which
it's
is
very, like, snobby of you.
Yeah. Now it's the first and last name over here. Jeez.
The Big Cat for Dyrdek crew is not even a big deal. It's that it's like a famous bear, and he's on the radio here. Big Cat Williams. So, like, it's actually happened to me a few times where I'll show up. I remember when we went down for the Super Bowl, I was down there for the week, and I went to do, like, a Fox hit for Fox back in Chicago. I showed up to the studios in Arizona, and they're like, you're not like a 300-pound black guy.
Oh, they just booked the wrong Big Cat?
Wrong Big Cat. Like, sorry.
That's great. Isn't there also – is that – I think it's someone totally different from both of you. At Big Cat has like a lot of followers, right?
That's the Deer Deck guy.
Oh, that is your Deer Deck guy. Okay, okay. I didn't know that was him because I always thought that was like a wild coincidence.
We'll get tagged in one of those every now and again. Probably like every other week maybe.
Yeah.
Be like
that Big Cat and I we'll cross at some point.
For sure.
There's something going to happen where we rumble.
Plus, I mean, is that still going on? Is that guy still like out there and doing shit?
I think they sell basically t-shirts to skaters and they make millions of dollars.
Good for him.
Yeah. That's like a whole market that we don't even
right.
That's the thing with that Big Cat. Like there are maybe four people in the world who know both of us.
Right. The overlap, there's none. But so in each world, the other Big Cat doesn't matter.
And a fat blogger from Chicago. Like that's not really
right.
Is he on that Ridiculousness show or whatever? That like fake Tosh.0?
I think so.
See,
although his brothers,
I think drama is, but Big Cat was like a step below drama. That was like you're like Hank below Hank is what Big Cat is to Rob Dyrdek is what you know the Portnoy relationship. So I think I would just keep it as is. You guys, would you change anything?
I'd keep it as is because I mean, just like you said, like Dan, you were always called Big Cat. I was always called Fikes, so it was basically. Right. Basically my name, and that's basically what it was, the fake Jew for a little bit, and then it just went right into Fights, and that's
kind of
funny
when that resurfaces every now and then, and the new stoolies are still floored that you're not a Jewish guy.
It's kind of uplifting when that happens. Like, oh, we are still growing significantly.
Right.
No one knows I'm a fake Jew.
No, it makes me feel good. I know what you mean. It reminds you how there's like I'm like, wow, you guys miss so much good shit if you don't know that. Like so many good blogs.
And they're gone. They're like, we can't even joke. They're gone.
No, that's it. Like,
I tried to look for the Adam the Schefter one. I think that's gone.
Forget about like 2010. We were missing like the first half of like 2014.
Yeah. Kevin, so many good blogs gone.
About your blog yesterday and this stuff we used to write. I used to write some of the most offensive shit. Oh. Like, I had one of my longer blogs ever about how disgusting people with AIDS are and like how I had to get out of the city because it was when I was living in New York and it was during AIDS Walk. And I think even on that one, I had like a comment or two being like, dude, this is a little much.
Nowadays, you'd be like fired. It'd be crazy.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just like ripped Jews for a while. There was some fucked up stuff. It was bad.
When the kid with Down syndrome scored the touchdown, that was – I mean, even Stoolies were mad at me then. I can't imagine what would happen now.
That's just classic being – it's like when kids send us, like, blog samples and they're 23 and they're just, like, viciously mean. And you're just – you're like, dude – I know you're 23 right now, and you don't think that you'll, like, grow up and be a real person in the real world, but it happens
It'll
to
happen.
Everyone.
It'll happen.
Fucking sucks.
I'll do it now when I'm writing a blog, and I'll realize I just wrote a sentence that was a little too in the middle. I was like, oh, that sentence is too, like, PC, and just really what I'm thinking is it just makes too much sense. Like, that's too normal of a sentence to write. And I'll just go back and change it to just every word that's kind of just normal, I'll change it to as inflammatory as possible. Just try to get back to my roots a little
bit. Yeah,
and my favorite is like when like people on Twitter or commenters say like you're being so PC, it's like, dude, you're anonymous. Like if your boss knew the shit that you say in the comment, like racist shit, there's no way you'd say it with your name attached to it. So it's a little different for us.
Right. Here's a good question. A hypothetical I don't even know what you call these wacky questions. If a genie granted you the ability to get anybody out who tried to hit a hit off of you in a baseball game, as you are now, do you think you could make it to the major leagues? So your stuff stays the same. Let's say you're hitting like low 60s on the radar. You can't throw a breaking ball. You have the same body. But because of this magic genie, nobody can hit you. A scout would laugh you off if he saw you on the field. Do you think, though, that you could make it through the system and get to the majors?
But no one can hit you?
Nobody can hit you, but do you think you would ever get the shot?
Yes.
Yes. If you do a perfect game every single game, yes.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's play it out, though. Like, right now, so you play in some, like, independent league, and you throw a perfect game.
You just described, like, Jamie Moyer.
That is true.
Like,
I mean, it's like Charlie Huff. There have been guys who have done this before.
Right.
I think we are a step below that.
Okay.
I mean, if you're let's use his example. You're throwing low 60s, and you can't throw a breaking ball. You still think that
you have, like, the mechanics and your body and everything.
You have your exact body.
And we're starting – are we like, in college, or we're just starting, like, tomorrow just – because that would be the real
– That's the difficult part. Is it me right now? I'm 27.
Yes.
Or is me in high school?
No. So you don't really have, like, a viable way to climb the ladder.
See, I already know. Like, I just go try out for the Brockton Rocks, which is, like, an independent baseball team not far away. And then they literally just have, like, Invincible style. Yeah, Invincible is the Mark Wahlberg movie, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they have, like, Invincible
open style tryout, yeah.
And I just go, and I strike everybody out. And it's like, really, once you strike everybody out in one tryout, they're like, okay, we need to give this guy a little more of a look. And then once you're in the independent league, throwing a perfect game every single time you step to the mound – you know, like, people will notice. There are people who that's their profession is to notice a guy in an
to the point to the point to the point that you'll make the major leagues.
It would probably take me 2 years, but yeah, if you're throwing a perfect game every single game, they're gonna keep putting you up until you can't do it anymore. And if a genie's getting them out for you, then you're gonna be able to do it for
him. I mean, that totally makes sense. But at some point, there needs to be like a major, like Theo Epstein I'm going to give Dan a shot on the Cubs.
I was going to say, this is a different question for me because I would probably just call up my friend Theo.
Yo, I got a genie,
Epstein,
man.
And just be like, hey, man. The best is I walk my dog. I walk Stella in the morning sometimes and I'll sometimes see Jed Hoyer, my friend Jed Hoyer. And so I would just be like, hey, Jed Hoyer, watch this, bro. I don't know. I think I would have to, like, I'd have to find.
That's the difficulty of it. That's the difficulty of it because you can't say just watch this. Because if you're just pitching bullpen.
Yeah, you have to do it, like, where it matters.
You need to tell Theo. You need to tell him you have a genie.
Yeah.
No, I'd be like, Theo, let me come and pitch batting practice, and I guarantee no one will hit anything I throw. I mean, that's it right there.
I mean, yeah, I understand it. I'm just saying, when it gets to the point where, like, you get a contract.
It would drive the world insane.
Insane.
Because everyone would be like, he's not good. How is he doing this? Like, next game he's going to blow up. It would just be insane.
Dude, that's the way I was against the Royals' actual pitchers. I was like, Chris Young.
Well, that was...
Imagine having someone like us, some, like, flabby fucking bum out there throwing junk. It's like, you know, Bartolo times a bazillion. For guys
imagine
like
the
us.
First take, like the first, they would be like, it would be like just like Tebow, he looks terrible. There's no reason he's winning, but he keeps winning. So
Skip Bayless would love us. Bayless would be our number one fans. I would probably march down to the Wilpons and be like, yo, give me a contract for like $150,000. That's all I need. I'll be happy. It'll be like me and like the big four of the Mets out there every day, just throwing fucking nasty junk, striking everybody out. I don't know. I mean. I guess you're probably right, Feidelberg, that as long as you could get to a somewhat legitimate baseball club, you'd probably get noticed enough. But I think getting an actual look at the major leagues is tough.
It wouldn't happen immediately, but I would – I mean, once you throw three perfect games in a row in independent, people are like, okay, like maybe he's good enough for not even single A, like Florida Gulf Coast. And go to Florida Gulf Coast League and throw a bunch of perfect games. If you just keep
eventually it has to happen.
It might take a year. It might take 2 years. But if you just it wouldn't. It would be actually now that I think about it, it would be meteoric rise. If you just kept throwing perfect games, they have no choice but to make it more difficult and more difficult.
I
think you'd max do like fucking. I think you'd pitch like three games per league.
Yeah, three like per level.
Yeah.
Going independent, low A, single A, double A. You probably pitch like 15 times and you're in the majors.
Yeah.
Here's a good question. Why don't more fans run onto the field during the fourth quarter of really close football games when their team is out of timeouts? Shouldn't this be standard operating procedure for drunk assholes who are going to get arrested anyway for getting in a fight or whatever it may be afterwards in the parking lot? If your team is out of timeouts and needs to get downfield after a long completion or even just to set up a field goal, bam. There should be a horde of guys with clean records and ready to just quite literally take one for the team. No question I would do this for the Super Bowl. What about a championship game, any playoff game, regular season? Now, it's kind of a valid point that there's a lot of fans out there who are like, I bleed blue, or, you know, I bleed my team's colors, I die hard. It's like, well, how die hard are you? Feitelberg, you went to jail for your team. What if you could actually, I mean, the same situation basically, except you could, like, impact an actual game and help your team win.
See, I would never be in that situation because Belichick is the best clock management. But I think that's fucking like a legitimate point. Teams who are just fucked at the end, you're like, well, we're losing anyway. I'm just used to losing. The teams who I don't remember ever being in that situation where it's like, fuck, we're fucked. We have no shot here. And I think if you are in that situation, you're just so used to it. You're like, I don't know, they're going to jail. We lose again. That's what we do every single day.
I hate you. I hate you.
I'm not trying to.
Okay, the real answer to this question. Can I really answer this question? First of all, this is
topics, and it's like it's not fair. I'm not trying to be a dickhead.
Okay,
I'm just stating facts.
Can I really answer this question? First of all, this is the Jason Kidd when he fake spilled the drink.
Yeah.
That was genius. The problem is they would catch on to it. Like, they would figure it out after a couple times, and then they'd start penalizing the team, right?
Can you? Could you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The refs, like, got mad at the cheerleaders for
right.
making noise during the snap count in a MAC game. You can you'll see, like, people will warn, like, the stadium and stuff. If
right.
they're throwing shit. It's basically you have, like, one or
two chances. You got to make it count.
Right. But I agree. The reasoning is sound. If your team was in desperate situation now, obviously it would suck because you'd miss the rest of the game.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. This is one of those questions. Hank, like, would you really do it? Like, we say this. What's that?
Hank missed the whole fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Right. Like, that doesn't bother me. Like, I have no problem with missing it as long as if it could result in a championship. I'm good watching the highlights and enjoying it on Twitter or something like that. But the question is, like, we say that and the logic is sound, but would you really ever do it? Would you run on the field and get, like, lit up by security, taken away, drunk tank, charged with something? Would you ever actually pull the trigger? If let's say I could guarantee that, you know, you win an NFC championship game, would you do it?
I would do it for this year. I would do it this year for the fifth. Yeah.
I mean, the Bears are probably never going to be in the playoffs again.
Yes. Feitelberg, I want to give you a chance right now. I would imagine right around this time, maybe even earlier in the season last year, was when you were popping popcorn and said, I can't wait for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. Will the Patriots win the Super Bowl again this year?
Yeah, it's like it's not fun calling it this time. Last time they stunk when I said it. This time it's like they're so much better than everybody. It's like yeah, I do. I think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. But that's not a bold statement.
But I'm not asking that. Will the Patriots win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
We really need the Giants to just do it again.
I know. God, that would be as a Jets fan, it kills me. But I almost want to see it happen again, just because it would be absolutely unbelievable. Fights that would kill you.
It would kill me. Yeah.
Kill Portnoy.
It would be the biggest, like, if the Patriots' entire dynasty. And they lost three times in the Super Bowl to Eli Manning. It would be the biggest, like, you. I mean, what can you even say to that?
Right.
Yeah, it would be a huge, huge, huge problem.
Once is a fluke.
Huge problem.
Once is a fluke. Twice is like, wow, I can't believe it happened again. Three is like, it's a thing. There's a genie. There's something's going on. It's
like
a thing.
The Patriots were the greatest team for 15 years, but the Giants fucking kicked their ass.
Right. Yeah. It would always be that but attached to it at all times talking about the past.
But that'll be attached to Peyton forever. It's Peyton was the best. I mean, Peyton in his prime was a more talented quarterback than Tom Brady in his prime. Had more, a better arm and all that. He didn't have anywhere near the intangibles or anything like that. But, like, on the field, like, there's a reason Belichick went for it on fourth and two rather than punting it and giving the Colts the ball, because Peyton was going to score there. That was just a fact. That's how good Peyton was in his prime where he was like, you can't give him the ball because he's going to score a touchdown. That's just what's going to happen.
Right.
Brady was like that, but he was – I don't know. I know I'll probably get like shit for saying that. Like Peyton Manning's talent level was probably better than Tom.
But he'll always have that but.
His workout – I mean his work ethic and his intangibles weren't. You could say that Peyton was the best quarterback to ever play, but there's always but.
I'm waiting to unveil a little theory I've been throwing around in my head. This Tom Brady, like, life coach guy, why don't more people talk about him? I mean, that guy has HGH steroid dealer written all over him. He's got the fucking fountain of youth. He's the secret to Tom Brady being able to, like, get better as he gets older. I'll just drop that there and just say, no, John, don't say anything back. I'm just going to drop it and say, huh.
That's obviously, like, of course what people are going to do. I don't think that's a new theory. I think anyone who thinks, like, I mean, they've been saying he's shady and sketchy forever.
Interesting.
But it's not like he's trying to keep it a secret. He invites every fucking player. He wants LeBron James to come work with him.
Hiding in plain sight.
Well,
I was wondering when that was going
to – I actually am about to write a blog that Peyton Manning should just do steroids. The NFL would never, ever suspend Peyton Manning at this point in his career.
Fights, how about your conspiracy theory right now with Andrew Luck?
That's a real one. That's more real than Dan's bullshit about, oh, Brady's on steroids. I'm glad we already have our excuse for this year prepared, though. Brady's on steroids.
No, it's not. That's not. I'm just saying.
It's just a.
But it's
an interesting thing that is like.
What do steroids do? They make you bigger and more talented.
I'm Brady, not a doctor, John.
Brady looks like he's always looked. There's nothing.
Hey, I'm not a doctor. I'm just. Huh.
Oh, that's so fucking cheap. I hate that.
Well, listen. Whether he's
I'm not accused of anything,
I'm just saying. I'm not saying it. I won't put my name to it. I won't attach it. I'm just gonna say
that
it.
That's like making first John's fucking blood boil.
Huh? Dude, just like you made my blood boil when you did the. Oh, they're getting divorced. They're so getting divorced.
That one probably true. Yeah.
That's still gonna happen.
You're gonna die one day. You're gonna die one day. Like maybe in 50 years. Like that's not calling it.
No, I'm calling it. I'll stick my reputation.
That's
on that.
That's not calling it.
Yeah, it's calling it.
Time limit on it.
That's calling it.
Because you made it seem like they were getting divorced in a week that last time you fired.
Yeah, it'll be like maximum 2 years.
Okay.
Either way, Tom Brady's going to be divorced. He's on steroids. Maybe the Pats go to the Super Bowl. Maybe they don't. Maybe the Giants.
No, wait, Kevin. I never said Tom Brady was on steroids. Let's clear that up. Just said.
Either way.
Andrew Luck is the one who has something fishy going on.
It could be the Colts. It could be the Pats. It could be the Giants getting back to the Super Bowl. Either way, if you want to get tickets to the Super Bowl or any other big game out there, the best way to grab tickets is through the new app SeatGeek, where you can use the promo code KFC to get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So the way it works is after you buy a purchase, they'll send you a $20 rebate. So it's just straight cash. It's like through PayPal or any of the other money accounts. So you just get $20 cash. So if you're going to buy tickets anyway, you might as well do it through SeatGeek and get $20 back. It does a couple other things pretty well. First of all, the main thing is that it pulls in ticket options from hundreds of online ticket sellers to create one-stop shop for tickets. They also have a great feature called Deal Score, which maps out the best tickets at the best prices with just one look. And finally, the mobile app makes the ticket buying process seamless and easy. You don't have to go through all sorts of security hoops and whatnot to buy tickets. You find the game you want to. Two quick taps, and you got the tickets. And like I said, you get $20 coming back to you. So to redeem your promo code and get that $20, download the free SeatGeek app today. Enter promo code KFC into the app, and then SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first purchase. Every ticket purchased on SeatGeek is backed by a 100% guarantee. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code KFC today. One more.
Before we go any further, that Andrew Luck thing is real. Andrew Luck is not – there's something fishy going on with that 100%.
Why?
Because, first of all, why announce it? You don't have to file an injury report during your bye week. Why announce it on Tuesday? Second of all, 2 to 6 weeks. Who the fuck gets hurt for 2 to 6 weeks? 4 to 6, I believe. 2 to 6. Get a better doctor.
I don't know, man. Third of all,
a lacerated kidney? Keenan Allen's done for the year with a lacerated kidney. It took 2 seconds. They were like,
yeah, it wasn't as severe. But I'll say this, John. I don't know if you watched that game. The second that hit happened, I was like, oh, fuck. He just got... smoked. He got the high low. Like, I said that out loud as it was happening, so I'm not surprised.
And they've already been in trouble for injury reports. I think something fishy is there.
Okay. Did you hear the part where I said, where it was clear
he got hit hard? Yeah, I saw that too.
He didn't get hit hard. He got, like,
He got hit hard. Yeah.
It was harder than a
hard.
That
happens quite often in a football game. I saw him get hit hard.
We're getting a little testy today on KFC Radio. I like it.
Say Tom Brady might do something.
One more email before we get into the voicemails for this week. This is primarily for Big Cat. So my friend just got into the betting game, and I found out he's doing the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. He's hedging his bets so that he's winning $4 at a time and can only lose $4 at a time. Example, he bet $25 on the Chargers and then put $30 on the Bears. Is this not the biggest psychopath move you've ever heard? Maybe it's the dumbest thing. Should I punch this kid in the face, report him to the police? I can't wrap my head around it.
This is like Charlie Wisco. Remember Charlie Wisco had figured out betting and it was just basically stealing money from his friends?
Yeah. Charlie has a lot of good business ideas. That might have taken the cake.
All right. Here's I'm going to give a short little quick rant here about betting. And I'm not trying to be a hard on. It's impossible. Anytime you think you figured it out, you're wrong. You haven't figured it out. Nate is like getting into betting now. He G-chatted me the other day. He's like, is NBA betting really easy? Because it seems really easy. I'm like, no, Nate.
None of it's
easy. No betting is easy. And he's like, well, I love the Pistons tonight. They're so much better than the Kings. The Pistons lost by like 15 points. They were favorites. That is what betting is. Like, anytime you think you figured it out, you're wrong. You're going to lose money. It sucks. Unless you have the actual, like, betting itch where you're like Dave and I, who we can't, like, I can't go a day without, like, getting some action somehow. Just don't do it. It's a waste of time.
But so this idea to only win or lose $5 at a time, like, what's even the point?
I would – it's
– does it even work like that? Most, like,
I would quit betting before I did that.
Can that even work?
No. And also
– right? I mean, because you could just do that on a large scale and actually make money, right? There's no way –
well, there – Cuban has, like, I think he, like, was trying to get some people. There's a theory that obviously if you got the right numbers, you could basically trade – you could – like, if you got the Bills were +3 tonight, and the line's all the way down to pick. So if you had, like, been smart and fast about it, you could have basically traded numbers and tried to get a middle and, like,
right.
Whatever. But that takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of, like, money. You need a lot of money to make money with that. So this guy, I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
This is just, like, a dude who wants to be, like... Like,
also, I don't understand his theory because they specifically make the line so you can't do that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't bet myself, but I would have to imagine they make it so that you can't just win or lose. You know, you can't just have a guaranteed profit.
No, because then you could do it on $10,000 scale. So,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the money line. I don't know what he's talking about. The money line, they never make it like that so that you can automatically lock in a profit.
Well, if you do think you haven't figured out, use BetDSI. We're going full steam ahead into the NFL right now. NCAA football season coming to an end. You got the NBA, NHL, everything picking up. And if you're looking for an online sports bet website, I recommend BetDSI.com. BetDSI is the place guys like Big Cat and real professional bettors feel comfortable. It's one of the original online sports books. They've been around for over 16 years. They've gotten A-plus scores on many of the sports book reviews. It's very trusted by all sorts of bettors out there. And if you go over to BetDSI right now, .com right now and use the promo code Barstool10, that's Barstool, no space, and the number 10, you'll get $10 free for your next bet. So, you know, maybe you're using some algorithm. Maybe you're coming up with some way to hedge your bet. Maybe you're just a degenerate like Big Cat and Portnoy. Whatever it is, you might as well throw $10 for free onto your next play. So go to BetDSI.com and use the promo code Barstool10, get $10 for free. Let's dive into some voicemails here. Let's talk about going to India.
What's going on, KFC, Big Cat Fights? Connor from New York. Just had a quick hypothetical. I was listening to some old Mail Times and KFC Radios, and the subject came up of you being asked to start up a new branch of your company in a different country. So my question is, if Prez asked one of you three guys to start Barstool India and stay there for 4 or 5 months, you know, but you knew at the end of it that one of your teams would win a championship, would you do it? Or what would it take for you to start a Barstool India?
Big Cat was already shaking his head no. Under any circumstances, would you start a Barstool India? Whether it's a championship, whether it's money, any way we can lure you out to fucking...
Yeah, I would.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'd do it for, like, anything. I actually really like traveling. I wouldn't go to, like, the fucking Slumdog Millionaire part, but I'll go to, like, fucking the nice part, like, Mumbai or something like that. Like, I'll go stay in a nicer part of it.
For what?
I'll go stay in it for the Pat's Fifth.
Wow. I mean, for a dude who already has four Super Bowl rings, to be like, I'll go live in India for another one.
Let me tell you something. The best one's the next one.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Yeah, now, I was offered this for my old job, and I literally laughed in their face when they asked me. I actually started laughing. I don't think there's any way I'm going to do it for Dave fucking Portnoy. Dan, any way you're going to India?
6 months?
6 months is a long time.
Dude.
But, dude, you're not, like, he didn't specify that you're, like, you don't have to, like, shit in holes in the ground. Like,
yeah, I mean.
There are normal parts where you just don't.
Normal is, I mean, there's modern parts. I don't think any of India is normal.
Well, it's a different culture, yeah, but, like, there's
that culture sucks, dude.
It's very different than fucking, like, you're picturing, like, Slumdog Millionaire where they fall into a pile of shit that's just in the middle of the road.
Yeah, but I'm also thinking about, no matter what, it's atrociously overcrowded. I'm thinking about how bad the food is, how that's
going to just... I'm a blogger. I will fucking stay in my hotel.
Well, right. Well, that's the main difference. That's the thing that I was going to say I would consider is, like, 6 months just, like, inside of India, in like a nice hotel room in India, is a lot different than like being out in India and shit like that. But at some point, you gotta eat, you gotta like deal with not being able to watch sports. And when you do go out, it's fucking terrible. I've always said I'll do like horrible, horrible things.
And you get to come back for the championship?
Let's say no.
Oh, then I don't. I mean, that would be brutal. What's the point of – part of a championship is like
being
in the city and enjoying it and everyone partying and like all the festivities and all your friends are pumped. If you were in India, it would be miserable.
So if you could be there, you would do it. If you couldn't, you wouldn't.
Yeah, that's probably the answer.
I wondered myself either way.
I think I'm doing it no matter what, and I'm just like going to take credit for it. I'm going to be like, I was the martyr that went to India for 6 months to get the Mets the World Series. And I'll put that on my Twitter bio and pat myself on the back for the rest of my life.
Can you say, like, do people know that? Do people know? Probably not. That wouldn't make it fun for anyone else.
Right. But maybe after the fact that they knew, that would be awesome.
Yeah, like, you get your own fucking parade.
Exactly. Exactly. I'd be a goddamn hero. Let's see. This one's called Protest. I don't know. We got to do some protester talk for this week, so...
What's going on, guys? So obviously right now the flavor of the month is go protest shit they don't really fucking care about. All these dickheads at school doing their fucking protesting thing. Alright, so I was trying to figure out if there is one thing in this world right now I was passionate about to protest. For 2 hours could think of one thing I would take time out of my day to protest. That just kind of shows where I'm at. I figured you guys kind of be in the same thing. I don't know, maybe having a daughter on the way, you might actually have, like, real-life outlooks, but probably not. But, yeah, so I just want to see if you guys can come up with one thing that you guys would actually protest.
I said this earlier to K. Marco. There's not a single thing in the world I feel passionately about. Would you?
It's basically if someone did something to my dog. That's the only way I'd protest.
No. It's not even about, like, the reasoning behind it. It's like, all right, say someone did something to your dog. Like, what would a protest do? It's more about the results.
I'm just saying that's the only thing that can get me, like, my passion going.
Right, okay. I agree with that. I certainly agree with your dog being that. But would your passion ever get high enough? Or, like, would you ever like, funnel your passion into a protest?
I'd probably just, like, Andy Bernard it, punch a wall, like, break my wrist.
And then, exactly.
This really sucks.
I was thinking about it, like, like if they made steak illegal. And even then, I'd be like, okay, like I'll eat more chicken.
Well, so like you did your Tom Brady thing, but that's for the blog. That's for the
I was actually thought you guys were immediately going to dismiss me from this discussion. That's clearly not real. That's
right.
That's,
now you would never have done that on your own, just as a Patriots fan, if you weren't working for Barstool Sports.
Right. That was more like a content, funny video, funny situation to be able to follow. Then it was like a legitimate protest. The fact that some people don't get that is like so weird because we still get tweets about like you can't talk about protesting. Right. You're protesting. Well, I'm fucking. Well,
no. The thing is though, in Portnoy's head, like he doesn't think that way. You're rational about it. He is like he really thinks that he was protesting for something that mattered and he made a difference and that there's a difference in the situations.
I don't think Dave's pretty far gone. Dave doesn't think that we actually did anything.
Oh my God!
Dave, he's completely gone.
You guys are bad as commenters sometimes. No,
he is so gone, John. You don't see it.
I just admitted that he is not in this situation.
I think he absolutely thinks
he defended the wall and like changed the tide of this story.
Yep.
Okay.
But as far as the general protest,
I sat in a jail cell with them where we were planning out how we're going to take the credit for this. There's a difference between how we said we'd taken the credit and how we like actually think we did.
I hear you, but I'm just saying. I think when it all happened and then the suspension gets overturned and stuff, I think in his head he thinks it matters.
Did you hear the rundown yesterday, John? He was like, "I wish Hank got taken for like a few hours." And I was like, you actually want like your employees to get kidnapped? I don't know what – I know that it's like – his brain is very tough to figure out these days. I don't know. I think he thinks everything in the world is like a little – it's like a cartoon running in his head at all times.
Right.
That's how he thinks. I think he thinks in cartoons.
Well, as more and more protests go on, there's a big protest in New York – on Friday morning to protest the new ruling against Daily Fantasy.
What a fucking scene that's going to be. All the professional fantasy football players on Friday morning.
That is one group of people I would not want to trifle with. I would not want picketing outside my offices. I would not want all angry at me because those guys are something special. So hopefully that goes through. Hopefully that works because right now, obviously – New York City is kind of screwed as far as getting your daily fantasy fix. So if you live anywhere else in the world or anywhere else in the country, head over to DraftKings.com, which is America minus one city's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you can make big cash, millions of dollars in prizes paid out every single week. With so much money up for grabs, every game is the big game and every play matters. That's the beauty of one-week fantasy football at DraftKings. There's new – you got renew old rivalries, create new ones with the head-to-head matchups with friends, coworkers, fantasy players all across the nation, again, minus New York since I'm embarrassed for New York right now. I'm embarrassed to be a part of this city and state as they lower this ruling. So go out there and protest if you're in New York. Stand up for your rights to gamble and make money and play fantasy sports. And if you're not in New York, head over and play at DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code KFC to play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home 100 grand. A couple more voicemails, and we'll wrap it up. let's talk about Baby Hitler.
KFC, Pete gave me a call from Minneapolis. Me and my buddies were having the old "Would you kill Hitler?" before the Holocaust. Obviously, the answer is yes, if you could go back in time. Interesting spin on that one, though, when we brought up if the way that you had to kill him was by eating him as a baby. Kind of wanted to hear you guys talk on that. Let me know. Leave it.
All right. A lot of Hitler, baby Hitler talk this week. Jeb Bush said he would kill him. Ben Carson, I guess, did not. I don't know. What did Ben Carson say, Feidelberg?
He would not abort Hitler.
He would not abort Hitler. Let's talk baby Hitler. Would you really kill him? And this guy's stipulation, like you had to kill him in a gruesome, gruesome manner, such as cannibalism. Would you eat baby Hitler?
I don't think I'd kill him in any manner.
I'd kill him, but I don't think it would stop anything. Like, dude, that shit was happening anyway. The Germans, that's what they do. Every fucking few years, they get up and they try to own the world. Like, so
You think there'd be, like, you know,
nationalism
Himmler,
and all
Himmler
that
or
shit.
Whatever that guy's name was would step up and just beat
Hitler? Yeah, the Great Depression leading into nationalism and, like, all the crap that was going on. That was – I'm not saying Hitler was a good – he's the worst guy ever, but there was definitely the right climate for it, and I would imagine that someone else would come pretty close to doing – some fucked up shit as well.
We got historian Big Cat on the show today.
Just saying. But I'd kill him still. I'm just saying it wouldn't. I don't think it would stop it. Like, I would kill him.
Let's run
through this. I'd kill him. I'd kill, like, I mean, I have my time machines. I can go back to whenever I want. I'd kill, like, 16-year-old Hitler. Like, you know he was such a little shit. Like, he's one you can kill, no problem.
But a little infant, you don't think you could do it?
Not if I had to do it, Sir Gregor the Mountain style, where I like just squeeze a baby's head until it goo in my hand. Like,
how would you kill baby Hitler? Would you throw baby Hitler off a bridge into a river?
Like Spartan style?
Yeah.
I wouldn't kill it. I couldn't kill a baby. I couldn't kill a baby.
If I knew who he grew up to be and it was guaranteed, I think I could throw him off a bridge.
Dude, but the other
just
thing
like,
is
you just close your eyes, you drop a package over the wall and you walk away. That's it.
Yes.
I don't think I could eat him. I can't eat a baby. I can't eat any humans. Because then, A, you have, like, Hitler inside of you. That's fucked up. That's going to eat you out of your brain forever. And
like Jerry getting Kramer's blood.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want that demon inside you. Plus, you can never, like, you're a cannibal. Once you go cannibal, like, you can't – you come on KFC radio and there's a hypothetical about eating people and you're the guy who's eaten people before. So I don't want any cannibalism on my record. I don't want any Hitler inside of me. But I think I could drop him off a bridge.
imagine just like, I mean, first of all, you're sacrificing your life too to do this. I'm not sacrificing my life for anything ever. Like,
why would I be sacrificing my life?
Because once I throw that baby off the bridge, I can't say, no, trust me, that was Hitler. It's
oh,
fine.
Right. Then you're just a baby murderer at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And that's right. I don't want to stick my neck on the line for anybody, let alone, you know, Jews.
Jews, yeah. Like, what?
All right, one more voicemail today. The last voicemail is brought to you by Uber. Uber, it's the most important thing that's ever been created, not only because it's convenient to pick people up and drop people off, but if you want to drive with Uber now, you can make life-changing money. Here's the reasons why. You'll love being your own boss. You'll earn great money. It's easy to start. All you need is a car and a license. Driving with Uber is great for anyone who needs flexibility. Parents, it's a really easy way to work around your family's schedule. Students, you can make money in between classes or on your breaks during the summer, whatever it may be. So now's the prime time to cash in driving with Uber. You'll thank me later when you find out how much money you get paid. It's direct deposit, so it just goes right to your account. You just drive around your car and money magically appears. That is 2015. So whether you're trying to pay off your tuition or student loan bills or you got a kid on the way like me and you're going to have tons and tons of bills for daycare – why get into your own car when you can get into a car with Uber? You got a car and a license, put them both to work and start earning serious life-changing money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber at drivewithuber.com. That's U-B-E-R, Drive with Uber. One more today. Here we go.
All right, so pretty simple question. Do you think Archie Manning has ever sold a sperm before? I mean, he went 2 for 3. He's got pretty good genes. I think it's a legitimate possibility. Just kind of off of that.
Has Archie Manning ever sold his sperm? Would you let Archie Manning's sperm impregnate your wife, or would you let another athlete impregnate your wife? Archie Manning's a good choice, to be honest. You're white. You're still white.
Okay.
You're gonna get a white baby.
Okay.
He's 3 for 3, right?
Are we just like discounting that fucking like awful hideous droopy dog face that he's gonna give you?
Yes, I am discounting that. I don't give a shit about that if he's a fucking Super Bowl winning quarterback or an all time athlete. Cooper went on to make like billions, didn't he? Like doing finance, he's like a smart guy outside of football.
Yeah, well, that was because he's like a Manning. Like I don't know if
guess Cooper what Manning... my kid will be a Manning too, man.
Yeah, but no one will know it's a Manning.
Yeah, I mean maybe when he's
so
like older.
Basically, he's either a professional athlete
once he grows up.
I was gonna say when he has that
Manning,
dude. You think the droopy dog face is a bad thing? That's gonna be my ticket. Be like, look, this is Archie Manning's kid.
You can, the, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't pick the Mannings, but I would do it.
What athlete would you pick?
I'd have to pick. The problem is, like, let's try not to get racist here.
I mean, Feitelberg, we know where you're going.
Yeah, I was.
I think you would let Tom Brady impregnate you. I think you'd let Tom Brady come inside of you.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't impregnate, but I'd let him try.
I would want, like, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but it would have to be like someone like maybe like a Luke Kuechly or something. You know, one of those guys who's a linebacker who's just like incredibly fast, incredibly strong.
Okay,
no,
that's an interesting choice. All right,
I mean, if we're staying with the. Well, the white thing.
White thing, yeah. I mean, that's probably...
Thinking of, like, the best white guy right now.
I was trying to think beyond... I mean, obviously, Brady is would be my number one choice. But, yeah, I'm thinking beyond that. I think Beckham's in the running. I mean, he's got a hell of a little litter going on. Like, all of his kids play, like, professional soccer.
And they'd be good looking, too.
And they're models, yeah. He has a kid who plays for, like, AC Milan's under-16 team and in his spare time models for Burberry.
I like that. That is a good choice, Feitelberg. I think you just made my answer right there. Plus, I wouldn't, like, Beckham wouldn't, like, bother me. You know, I'd be like, whatever, yeah. Okay, Beckham's, like, sperm is all up in my wife or whatever. Like, no big deal.
Right.
That wouldn't bother me as much as, like a big, nasty linebacker, like Big Cat saying. So, all right, good answers all around. I still think Archie Manning is a good one. We'll call it a day on episode 143. Maybe we start planning a little shindig for 150. We'll keep you in the loop for that. Feitelberg, last words.
If you think Tom Brady did steroids, fuck you.
Wow, Feitelberg had last words.
But maybe.
He didn't ask you for last words, Dan.
Cut it. Feitelberg gets last words.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feitelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.